Hey everyone, and welcome back to the Deep Dive. So today we're going to be diving into a question that I know a lot of you have been thinking about, and you've given us a ton of different sources to look into for this. The question is, how does the Bible view the treatment of animals?
It's a great question, and it's one that's really relevant to us today, especially as pet owners.
Yeah, and we're not trying to like turn the Bible into a pet care manual or anything,
yeah.
But I think it's really fascinating to kind of unpack some of the deeper principles that are in there about our relationship with animals.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, it's interesting to think about how these ancient texts can still speak to us today about these ethical questions that we're grappling with.
Mm-hmm. So to kick things off, let's talk about this whole idea of dominion. You know, that comes up in Genesis 1.26,
mm-hmm.
where it says that humans are given dominion over, like, the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, every living creature.
Right. It's one of those concepts that often gets debated, right? Like, is it a license to exploit? Or is it a call to be responsible stewards of creation?
Yeah, like I've heard people use it to justify all sorts of things like factory farming and, you know, treating animals poorly. But then other people are like, no, 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 it's about caring for them, protecting them.
That's where the interpretation gets really interesting, because the way we understand dominion has definitely evolved over time. You know, in the ancient world, it might have been seen as like this top-down hierarchy with humans at the very top.
Yeah.
But if you look deeper, you can also see it as this form of caretaking, like you're responsible for the well-being of everything under your care.
It's almost like if you think about like a king ruling over a kingdom, like a good king isn't just going to like plunder and pillage everything, right?
Right.
They're going to want to make sure that their kingdom is flourishing. Because ultimately, their well-being is tied to the well-being of their kingdom.
Exactly. It's that understanding of interconnectedness.
Right.
And I think that's a really powerful analogy to apply to pet ownership today, because we have so much power to impact our pets' lives.
Yeah, for sure.
Like their health, their happiness, even their survival. But with that power comes a really deep responsibility.
Yeah, it's like we're stepping into that role of like benevolent ruler, but instead of a vast kingdom, it's this little furry kingdom in our home, right?
Exactly.
And we have to ask ourselves, are we being good rulers? Are we meeting the needs of our little subjects?
And that brings us to this idea of compassion, which is such a central theme throughout the Bible, especially when it comes to animals.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like if you look at Proverbs 12.10, it says, "The righteous care for the needs of their animals, but the kindest acts of the wicked are cruel."
Wow.
Like that really elevates caring for animals to a moral imperative.
It does.
It's linked to righteousness.
And it's not just about like giving them food and water, right? It's about their needs.
And then that word needs is so important.
Like you have to really understand what an animal needs to thrive.
And we know so much more now than they did back then about, you know, animal behavior and psychology. We know that they have emotional needs, social needs, not just physical needs.
Yeah, it's not just about keeping them alive. It's about helping them flourish.
Exactly.
Making sure they have opportunities to play, to socialize, to be mentally stimulated.
I think that's where our modern understanding of animal welfare really comes into play. We have a responsibility to use what we know about animal cognition, their capacity for joy and suffering, to make sure we're giving them a good quality of life.
Yeah, and recognizing that they're not just possessions, they're sentient beings.
Absolutely.
They have their own personalities and quirks and needs.
And that leads us to another fascinating passage, which is Deuteronomy 25.4.
Okay.
This is the one about not muzzling an ox while it's threshing grain.
Oh, yeah, I remember that one.
Seems like a very specific rule, right? But I think it speaks to this broader principle of fairness, even in the context of work.
Like, you're working hard, you deserve to enjoy the fruits of your labor kind of thing.
Exactly.
And that actually makes me think about, you know, modern working animals.
Yeah.
Like service dogs or police horses. Do we extend that same principle of fairness to them?
It's a great question.
Like, I know police dogs get treats and playtime, but is that enough?
Yeah.
You know, consider the risks they take.
Yeah, what does fair treatment really look like in those contexts? It gets really nuanced, and I think those biblical principles can really help guide our thinking, even in the modern world.
Definitely. Okay, so this next verse is one that really stood out to me, and it might surprise some people. Exodus 23.5. If you see the donkey of someone who hates you fallen down under its load, do not leave it there. Be sure you help him with it.
Wow.
Help the animal of someone you dislike. It's like, wait.
It does seem counterintuitive, especially in that cultural context.
Yeah.
You know, helping your enemy was basically unheard of.
Yeah, it's like, put your personal feelings aside. This creature is suffering. You got to help.
And I think that's what's so radical about it. It's saying compassion shouldn't be conditional. It's not about who deserves it or who you like. It's about recognizing the inherent worth of all living beings.
Yeah, and responding with kindness, even when it's hard.
Exactly.
It's a real challenge to, like, expand our circle of compassion.
Yeah.
To include those we might not naturally gravitate toward.
And if we're called to show compassion to an enemy's animal, surely that applies even more strongly to the animals that are directly under our care.
Right, the ones we've chosen to bring into our homes and our lives.
Absolutely.
And I think that leads us to this broader theme that we see throughout the Bible, this idea of God's care for all of creation.
Yes, exactly.
Like in Psalm 104, where it talks about God providing food for the lions.
Right.
And satisfying the thirst of every living creature. And then there's that beautiful image in Matthew 10:29. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground outside your Father's care.
It's such a powerful reminder that even the smallest creatures matter to God.
And in Luke 12:6, we see a similar message. Are not five sparrows sold for two pennies? Yet not one of them is forgotten by God.
Right.
It really challenges that idea that humans are the only ones who matter. You know, I've always found those verses so comforting, especially when I think about my own pets.
Yeah.
If God cares for sparrows, surely He cares about the animals we've invited into our homes.
It's a beautiful way to connect those ancient teachings to our modern lives.
Yeah.
And it reminds us that our relationship with animals is part of something much bigger, something that connects us to this whole web of creation.
Yeah, that's a good place to pause for now, I think.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, speaking of that web of creation, there are those incredible passages in Isaiah and Hosea that talk about this future where humans and animals live together in peace.
Yeah, those are really something else.
A future of total harmony.
You're talking about Isaiah 11, where, like, the wolf lives with the lamb. The leopard lies down with the goat, the calf, and the lion, and the yearling together, and a little child will lead them. And Hosea 2, where it says, I will make a covenant for them on that day with the beasts of the field, the birds of the air, and the creatures that move along the ground.
It's this really powerful vision, isn't it, of a world where predator and prey coexist peacefully.
Yeah, like the whole natural order is transformed.
So all that brokenness and violence we see in the world is healed.
It's like a restored creation.
Right, and all creatures live in this mutual respect and understanding.
And, you know, a lot of people interpret those passages as, like, purely about the future.
Yeah, like an eschatological sense.
Yeah, exactly. But I think they can also serve as a model for how we can live right now.
I agree.
Like, even though it's a future vision,
yes,
we can still try to embody that peace and harmony in our own interactions with animals today.
Exactly. It's a call to action, to start living out those values of compassion, respect, and fairness, you know, in our daily lives.
So, like, if we're thinking about those biblical principles of compassion, responsibility, and fairness, what would that actually look like in practice for a modern pet owner?
Well, I think for starters, it's about recognizing that our pets are individuals with their own unique needs and personalities.
Yeah, for sure.
Like, you wouldn't treat every human being the same way. So we shouldn't assume that a one-size-fits-all approach works for animals.
Right. It's about really taking the time to get to know your pet. Understand their quirks, their preferences, their fears. Try to see the world from their perspective.
Yeah, and respond to them in a way that respects their individuality.
Mm-hmm.
And it's about being attuned to their well-being, both physically and emotionally.
So making sure we're providing them with good nutrition, taking them to the vet.
Exactly.
Giving them opportunities for exercise and mental stimulation.
Creating an environment where they feel safe, loved, and respected.
And making responsible choices, too. Right?
Absolutely.
Like choosing to adopt rather than buying from a breeder. Making sure our pets are spayed or neutered.
Yes.
Providing them with proper training and socialization.
It's about approaching pet ownership as a privilege and a responsibility.
Not just as a right.
Right.
Seeing our pets as companions.
Not possessions.
Mm-hmm.
Beings worthy of our love, care, and respect.
And that respect, I think, extends beyond just our own pets to the animal world as a whole.
Exactly. We have to think about our impact on wildlife, the choices we make as consumers, how we advocate for policies that protect animals and their habitats.
It's about recognizing that our actions have ripple effects.
What we do or don't do impacts entire ecosystems.
Yeah. But that's where it can get overwhelming for people, I think.
Yeah.
Like, we live in such a complex world, it's hard to know where to even begin.
It can definitely feel that way.
So what are some practical things people can do to make a difference?
Well, supporting organizations that are working to protect animals is a great place to start.
Like donating to shelters, volunteering?
Exactly. Even just spreading awareness about their work.
And what about being more conscious consumers?
Absolutely. Being aware of where your food comes from, supporting companies that prioritize animal welfare, reducing your consumption of animal products.
And like even things like being mindful of our waste-reducing plastic usage, making eco-friendly choices.
All of that ultimately benefits animals and their habitats.
It's all connected.
It really is.
You know, as we're talking about all this, I keep thinking about that story in Jonah 4, where God expresses concern for the animals of Nineveh right alongside the people.
Well, it's a good one.
It's like God's compassion extends to all creatures.
It really challenges us to expand our circle of compassion beyond just those who are like us.
Yeah. To recognize the inherent worth of all living beings.
Regardless of their species or their role in our lives.
And it makes you wonder, if we truly embodied that kind of compassion, how would it change our world?
It's a powerful question to consider.
How would it impact our relationship with animals, with nature, even with each other?
It invites us to imagine a world where our actions are guided by love and reverence, not by self-interest or dominance.
Yeah, it really is a beautiful vision.
And it makes you think, doesn't it?
Yeah.
About how we could live differently.
You know, as we've been talking about all these different verses and principles, I keep coming back to this idea that it's not just about, like, following a set of rules.
Mm-hmm.
It's more about cultivating a certain way of being in the world, a way of being that's rooted in compassion and responsibility and respect for all living things.
Absolutely. It's about the motivation behind our actions.
Mm-hmm.
Are we acting out of fear or control? Or are we acting out of love and a genuine desire for the well-being of others?
And those biblical teachings can be so helpful in that way. They give us this framework for ethical engagement with the animal world, a framework that's built on these timeless values.
Values that go beyond any one religion.
Right, they're universal principles.
That can guide us, whether we're people of faith or not.
So as we wrap up this deep dive, I want to leave our listeners with a challenge. We've explored all these powerful ideas from the Bible about how we should treat animals. But the real work starts when we step away from these texts into our daily lives.
It's about taking those principles and actually putting them into practice.
Exactly. So as you go about your day, as you interact with your pets, as you make decisions about what you buy, what you eat, how you engage with the natural world, ask yourself, what would it look like to live out these values? How can I embody that compassion, that responsibility in my interactions with animals?
And remember, even small acts of kindness can make a difference.
Mm.
The way we treat a single animal, the choices we make as consumers, the way we speak up for those who can't speak for themselves, it all contributes to creating a more just and compassionate world.
It's a journey.
It is.
But it's a journey worth taking. And, you know, maybe by striving to live in greater harmony with the animal world, we might just discover a deeper sense of harmony within ourselves and with the world around us.
I love that.
Well, thank you so much for joining us for this deep dive into the Bible's view of animal care. We hope you found it insightful and thought-provoking. Until next time, keep exploring, keep questioning, and keep seeking those deeper connections.